Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The safe bet is still that Zach will return, and that's kind of still where I am. I'm just reporting what I was hearing at the Combine, and that is that multiple people connected to other teams, agents, etc., that the chatter at that Combine, Zach is very much in play. I think the fact that he's going to look at other teams legitimately is serious. I think the fact that other teams are going to make an aggressive bid to get him is serious. And I think the fact that the Bulls are very confident that they're going to retain him are all serious, all simultaneously.
That was Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago on with the Mully and Haw show earlier today, looking toward the Bulls' immediate future of the player who hangs in the balance right now. And I still think Zach LaVine's coming back, but this is part of the process, and we're just kind of watching it play out. We're also watching some playoffs play out that haven't quite been as hard fought in each individual game, perhaps, as we expect. And here to give us his NBA thoughts is Mo Dockhill, who is on Twitter at @MoDockhill_NBA, co-host of the Athletic NBA Show, former video coordinator for the Clippers and the Spurs, and a longtime basketball guy, is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. What's up, Mo?
What's up? How are we doing today?
Good. Why do you think some of these high-level NBA games end up being the equivalent of one-punch knockouts that end up taking the full 2 hours, when we've just had a lot of uncompetitive nights between what you'd think on paper are very competitive teams?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of – some of it's the three-point shooting. Like, we talk about it a lot. This is a make-or-miss league scenario, and some nights some team just gets – unfathomably hot, like in a way where we're like, man, the Celtics, when they hit 10 of 12 threes in game two against the Heat. You know, I think it's just there are nights where there's a weird variance with all these things. There's no real clean answer. I can't just give you the oh, Mo's a genius. He has all the answers. Here we go. Thing. It's just been a weird playoff in the sense of just the variance across the board has been very up and down. And then in some of these series, like the Boston-Miami series, you have guys in and out of the lineup. Neither team has been fully healthy, you know, both teams at the same time in this series, and it's been a bit of a challenge for both teams.
It's a coaching test, too, and we played some of what Draymond Green said about the Grizzlies and about how – and we know – I mean, Taylor Jenkins is really good at his job, man, but just how – quickly they can flip a switch and play differently when Ja Morant is out. Not all teams are built to do that. Not all teams can say, all right, if we don't have this guy, we don't have this guy. Everything we do is going to be a little bit different, and this is how we have to play. What are the hallmarks of those resilient tactical teams?
Well, I think one is just being incredibly deep, you know, and like for a team like the Warriors, they've been together so well, so veteran laden. I think they've been through enough that they're able to survive those types of scenarios. A team like the Memphis Grizzlies are too young, right? And they're still learning how to play and figure things out. I still say in the playoffs, you need your superstars to really shine. And once Ja Morant was out for the Grizzlies, even though they completely crushed them, the Warriors in game five, I feel like the problem is you need that star to be able to go cut down runs and things like that. I think what you're looking at with, you know, certain teams have that ability, having been together long enough and know the system well enough, they can survive a couple of games without their top guys. Other teams are still trying to figure their way through. Even this Miami Heat team still kind of relatively new together, you know, with Kyle Lowry coming into the fold and still trying to figure things out with the team. It takes a while to get to that point where you can survive without one of your stars.
I am at the point now where I think I know I want to see a healthy Boston defense against the Golden State Warriors. That would just be absolutely fascinating to me. And if you started, if you were doing the video work for this, you had to prioritize, all right, watching what Golden State's doing right now, we got to take away this first, and then this, and then this, and if they beat us with this, you tip your cap to them.
Yeah, I think the first thing I'm looking to take away is Steph Curry after he gives up the ball. He's the most dangerous after he passes the ball. It sounds kind of funny, but everybody's kind of just lets their guard down defensively, and that's where Curry's able to get the next look, and he, you know, runs to the next spot and gets a clean look. I think the first point I'm going to start there. I think the other thing for the whoever plays them in the next round is going to have to be got to control the pace. You can't let them get out and run. That's where they get the most joy and where their runs really begin to develop is when they're able to get a stop on one end and then fly up the court offensively and get open looks, and then they get the crowd going and everything like that. Those are the first two things. After that, then it's making sure I'm guarding everybody else and being willing to live with Draymond Green shooting threes. You just got to live with that. That's going to be fine. You should win the series if he's shooting a couple threes a game, because he's not going to make enough. But at the most, the starting point's always going to be Steph Curry.
When you say get him after he gives up the ball, I'm thinking two things there. An old school coach would say be physical with him, knock him off his line a little bit to interrupt the timing of the play. It's sort of like rerouting a receiver off the line of scrimmage in football. Easier said than done, because he's just so squirrely. He's just really hard to put a body on. The other thing you could do is more of his own defensive concept and just say, have someone standing in one of his spots. Make him a little off of his hot spots, because they're mapped. You know exactly where his percentages are of where he's going to be there. What is the best way to then temper what he's able to do once he gives it up?
Well, I think the basic basketball principle is after a guy gives it up, you kind of look to where you need to go to help and things like that. I almost say the moment Curry gives up the ball, I'm hugging right up on him and just making sure he has no airspace. And I think that's going to be the first point. It's scary to play the Warriors in a zone, just in that sense of, unless maybe a box and one, but they got enough shooting out there with Klay Thompson, and the way Andrew Wiggins has been playing lately, it makes it even harder to just kind of zone up and you know, you live with those other guys kind of going off. But I think you have to kind of just go with the physical route like you were describing, sort of rerouting receivers and things like that. I just think the second he gives up the ball, you can't let up defensively. You can see it very clearly on video where, you know, after he passes, his defender just kind of for a split second sort of like relaxes, and Curry's running right to the next spot. And I think at that point, it's when he gives up the ball, you got to be running right into him and making sure he has no space.
I was trying to explain what I love so much about watching Luka Doncic play, and I'm sorry we're not going to see more of that. I'm sure given over the years, we certainly are. I love how much he wants to be guarded, where if someone's sort of on his hip, you know, he knows he's not going to blow by a lot of guys. All of the math works out for him if he can locate one piece. It's like, okay, I know where my guy is, or the guy who's my guy right now, and that helps me find everybody else. And then he does what I sort of in my head call making the second pass first, where you expect the rotation to bring a ball to a guy, but instead of it being from the hockey assist, from him to a guy to the guy, he'll create the space and find that guy without that shortstop in between. And I don't even know what you call that skill, but it's remarkable.
Well, it stems from a lot of his abilities, just kind of the looping passes he does. Like, he makes some passes sometimes where I'm like, huh, I didn't know you could throw at that angle. That's pretty interesting. I think, you know, he has a lot of that awareness. You know, his basketball IQ is on another level for a young guy, just because I don't think people fully understand. He's been a pro since he was 13 years old in Europe. And it's, you know, playing against full-grown adults for a large amount of his life when other guys were playing, you know, in high school and college. He's going up against high-level pros in the European leagues. And I feel like that's one of those things where he's just able to kind of develop that IQ and that knowledge base and the ability to keep a guy on his hip the whole way while finding the next pass is really special, and what's going to make those Mavs teams and those Mavs players elevate them to another level where they're just going to get so many open looks, but they got to knock these down.
Yep. When we talk Bulls, and we have spent a lot of time breaking down everything the Bulls have done, and Billy Donovan's so good at talking about it, they're still trying to unlock this puzzle of their offense with their current personnel. And it's been difficult all year because we've seen different iterations based on who's available and sometimes who's hot. But DeMar DeRozan taketh and giveth in some ways when he's hot from the mid-range and you watch it and it's fun and he's making all of these contested twos. And then there are times where you just wish he was able to hit a three because it would make all the difference in the world and change the geometry so much when they start packing things in against him, start running bodies at him. Is there any way out of the DeRozan puzzle? But or is this just something you got to learn to live with? And how do you make it easier? And how do you make other guys more open off of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenging one there. And especially with, you know, he's such a unique player. And he's gotten so much better as a playmaker from his time in San Antonio to kind of really take advantage of teams trying to beat him to his spots in the mid-range. It's obviously not the best shot profile. It's not the one that everybody wants nowadays. I think now that's where Billy Donovan's got to go to work, because DeMar DeRozan's not going to change at this point in his career. He's not coming in next season and shooting 9 threes a game or something like that and hitting them at a clip where everybody's going to be like, wow, that's amazing. I think this is where Billy Donovan's got to come in and start building a little bit more of an offense. This is where, you know, the front office has got to start adding a little more shooting around him, a little more shooting depth and talent behind it. I think that's where Vucevic's struggles this year from shooting for most of the year really kind of hurt the team, because it didn't allow them to spread the floor and create the space for DeRozan. If the team's not going to have enough shooting on the floor, it's going to shrink the court and make it easier to defend him and make it harder for him to find the kickout passes and the opportunities for the offense to get going. So it's really going to start first from the front office, maybe adding a little bit more shooting, a little bit more firepower. I know it sucked with Lonzo Ball's injury and things like that. Their team was never fully healthy, you know, midway through the season. They got to add that. And then from there, Billy Donovan's got to just move the pieces around enough so that they could find, you know, the right pockets to get DeRozan when he's in the mid-range, find a cutter, find an open kick out and the lanes there for him to make those passes.
The other thing they didn't have that so many of their opponents do and successful NBA teams have is a big who can screen and then catch it above the rim. Even when they had the ball screen game going, it would result in a post-up. And Vooch is a good post-up player, but there's still someone in between you and the basket. And against some of these drop defenses, sometimes if they see the efficiency of a long basket attacker being able to present a danger on the lob was so sorely lacking. I know those guys are hard to find who can be more than just rim runners. And, you know, for every Clint Capella, you know, there's a backup who can jump or who can't catch. I mean, there's not a lot of Rudy Gobert's out there. I wonder how you solve that too. Is DeAndre Ayton potentially a guy like that? Cause it's clearly missing from what the Bulls do.
Yeah. I think DeAndre Ayton has some of that in his game. My problem with Ayton is I don't think he plays with enough force. I think a lot of times you end up with him making a catch in the paint, and then he's looking to go to his jump hook instead of, even when he has a clear opportunity to dunk, he's trying to show off his touch. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be an improvement for the Bulls. I'm not trying to say if they have a chance to get him, they get him. I think it's a hard get for them, just in the sense of his salary demands, and then that's going to be a sign and trade that's going to hard cap the team and limit them in terms of what moves they can make after that. I think they got to kind of figure out, you know, where can they find the guys? Like, how do they find a guy that can help you for just give you that for 10, 15 minutes a game. You know, the Suns made a lot of hay just off of getting Bismack Biyombo. You know, there are guys out there that, you know, and he's pretty sure going to be a free agent this summer. I'm pretty sure they only signed him for the rest of this season. You know, there are guys you can go look for and try to find those rim-running role men that you're looking for in that sense. And I think we're going to see even more and more of those guys come through. Another name that pops in my head is Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks. You know, he's a restricted free agent, so it's not as easy. But another guy you can probably look at and hope, hey, he can be a bit of that rim roller that we need. And from there, we can kind of create and – again, that will open up more opportunities. If we put more pressure on the rim, we'll be able to find more other opportunities outside the paint for our other guys.
You got to work with Doc Rivers, with the Lob City Clippers. You got to work with Greg Popovich. What was each like when it came to the relationship with the job that you did? When you come out of your dark room with all sorts of deep thoughts, would you go in with a targeted assignment and say, I want it? They would say, you know, give me this, this, and this, and I want to see this for baseline out of bounds, sideline out of bounds. Or did they give you the autonomy to go in and watch film, come up with your conclusions, and then say, hey, you might want to do this because here's what I see?
So it's a little bit of both. I mean, they give you everything that they want, right? Give me all the, hey, I want to see every time we doubled the pick and roll in the game last night. You know, I want to see every time we, you know, ran floppy or whatever, or every time the other way around, every time they trapped us. Like, they'll give you what they want to see and things like that. But also, this is the job of video coordinators, is there are going to be stuff that I'm going to see that I could kind of just say, hey, like, I have this, you know, I've noticed over the past couple of games, you know, so-and-so's not getting back in transition. Like, here are a couple of clips. Like, maybe we could take advantage of that, or maybe, you know, we need to address that, or things like that. It's a collaborative environment. I mean, first you got to knock out the stuff that they ask for. And then from there, because you watch so much film and they understand that, hey, you're watching all the tape, that you're able to kind of see some stuff and you might have an idea or two that's worth mentioning. Or, you know, one thing that both Doc and Pop always requested was anytime I saw a really good, you know, end of game play or baseline out of bounds or sideline out of bounds play that resulted immediately in the score, they wanted to at least have an edit so that they could always look at that stuff and to always kind of accumulate that stuff so we can bring it to them. Because here's the thing that people don't really realize: coaches steal from other coaches all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just a normal thing. It's thievery more than anything else. But it's in a way of like, hey, that's a good play, we can use that.
I would just say it's funny that you mentioned how many times they ran floppy, because you don't see that changed. You know, they used to call it single double, or they used to call it baseline chase. And when we were talking about two guards, and that was always like a classic '90s. Right. Get your two guard his shot with off of one of those, either the staggered double or the other, or, you know, they'd run the guy all the way around the baseline. And now they're getting it for threes, and it's amazing to me how everything is pulled back and widened and opened up now, and how careful around the edges near the sidelines and end lines these athletes have to be to stay in bounds.
Yeah, the sidelines is the most amazing thing. Like, the amount of turnovers that we do have where guys step out of bounds along the sidelines trying to line up a three coming off of a screen has gone up exponentially over the years, I would say. But it's also, you know, that's part of the game of, hey, we're spreading the floor out, you know, and that's kind of, we're going to make the court dimensions have not changed, but we're going to make it the space wider for us. We're going to extend the defense out that way, and from there we're going to open up driving lanes and things like that. Like, that's the thing about the Warriors that people don't realize. We think about the Warriors and we think of all the threes, but what they do, they shoot a lot of twos. They get a lot of mid-range opportunities, and a part of it is because their threat as a three-point shooting team has spread the defense so far out that their best opportunities are inside the three-point line. So that's all they're trying to do now, is get the defense to pop out that way, that they could run in. So I think that's kind of the sort of the new strategy advancements that we're getting. And now we're going to start looking to see what defenses are going to adjust and how they can kind of combat that.
When you watch games, when you're with your trained eye and things and, you know, patterns jump out at you and you see plays run, when you do you roll your eyes like, oh, this again? What is the most like overused, fashionable NBA X and O trope right now?
Oh, man. I think it's just, I don't know if there's anything I could say that's kind of that frustrates me. It's just every team does what makes sense for them at this point. You know, I think we're seeing a lot of teams trapped in the pick and roll and now seeing the short roll as the thing, right? Where now every big man's got to be able to make that pass from the free throw line on down, you know, and that's something that Draymond Green kind of made into fashion. And now we see every big, if you don't have that as a big man, like that's a problem. You know, you got to be able to develop that because teams are going to start doubling your guards up top. And I think that's kind of the most common thing there we're seeing. And I think, you know, it's getting to the point I'm like, okay, defenses need to figure something new out. We need to start combating this here a little bit better. But it's hard because it puts you in a 4-on-3 situation. And when you have a guy like Curry, you want the ball out of his hands. It's very challenging.
Well, that short roll, too, it's almost like 2-3 zone offense. It's almost like a classic high-low action, right? When where you know where that soft spot is going to be down near the block, and if somebody gets in there, all it is a matter of when and how you get it to him at that point.
Yeah, and then you know, once the ball's there, it's really where it gets trouble for the defense because now the offense has the advantage and they're able to find the opportunities in terms of it's not just spacing the floor, but a cutter. Having a guy in the dunker spot along the baseline, those lobs are opened up. I mean, we saw how many times have we seen Kevon Looney get an easy dunk over the years just off of that, or Andrew Bogut when he was in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that stuff, and we're seeing it trickle throughout the rest of the NBA. We're seeing a lot more big men figure this stuff out, and now you need your big men to be able to be passers. And, you know, not everybody can be Jokic. He's a freak in terms of that passing ability as a big man. But you need your big men to be able to make plays. And that's something that we haven't had to have in years, you know, and I think that's where the game's kind of trending to.
Well, that's why I told people, as much as everybody wants to run Vucevic out of town because of what he isn't and because of how his flaws can get exposed, I always say, you be careful what you wish for, because there are a lot of ways in which Vuce here has been taken for granted in that when their offense was running and when Lonzo was getting those corner threes, so much was reliant on his hands, his ability to catch. And even though it's not pretty, it's not, you don't jump out of your chair like watching Jokic, it's pretty good. Like the ball is out and to the right guy more often than people notice.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of here's the problem with everybody, fans in every level of this, you know. When they get a guy and they're upset with his flaws, the teams knew what he was when he got here. These aren't new flaws.
Right.
You know, it's not a matter of like his game has changed since he came to Chicago. The Bulls know what they have in him and are trying to build something around him. And, you know, with Zach LaVine, with DeRozan, with Lonzo and everything you say there. And I think we tend to focus a lot on what guys can't do instead of what they do. And I think that's the important thing there. And are the stuff that they bring to the table more important than the stuff they take off. And I think that's the calculus teams have got to do when they figure this out. And I think fans got to just sort of relax, because there's not the very, very few that are perfect players out there are extremely, extremely hard to get. And you're not going to get for just 2 first round picks or whatever they traded to Orlando and, you know, for him. Right. It's a lot harder to get those guys. And I think it's just a matter of, you just kind of got to deal with what you got.
Mo, this is great stuff. Really appreciate it. Look forward to talking again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That is Mo Dockhill of the Athletic NBA Show and a longtime NBA assistant coach. Let's get to the Cubs when we get back, because we're at the quarter point of the season. I don't say the quarter pole, because that would be wrong, because in horse racing, the quarter pole, I believe, is with a quarter left in the race, not at the outset. We've reached the point where we can start multiplying everybody's counting stats by 4 and say for what they are on pace. And also look at the fact that there's a lot of guys on the Cubs that might be playing their way into being traded. That's coming up on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Swung on and hit in the air. Deep left field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Patrick Wisdom. He does, cracks one in the air, deep right center, back is Thomas, that ball is gone.
Here comes the 0-2 delivery to Wisdom, he swings and cracks one in the air, deep left center field, way back, Thomas looks up, it's gone! Patrick Wisdom ties up the game!
This would be a perfect time for a long ball. Gutierrez delivers, swing and a drive, right field and deep, back goes Aquino, it's got a chance, gone! Patrick Wisdom goes deep over that 370 marker. Three-run homer. Cubs lead 4-0.
It's a pretty special thing to have home runs in four consecutive games as the Cubs' Patrick Wisdom has. He's also, he's a handsome man, isn't he? I mean, he's no Luis Robert, but I don't know. The thing about Wisdom just looks like baseball player guy.
Jawline.
And he's a good dancer, and he's got that is just, you know, good old-fashioned apple pie American baseball player right
he's
there.
He's got a good baseball
yes.
face.
Yes, it's exactly right. You know, big slugger guy, and he came out of nowhere. And here he is, and he's 40 years old or whatever he is, and he gets a chance and he's playing well, and maybe a team figures that there that power bat will be there for him, and it's hard to flip a guy that age for prospects, but you know, teams get a little desperate, and that's the fact here. We're at 41 games, there we are. He's on pace for 40 home runs and striking out 40% of the time. But let's be honest about the Cubs. They're not very good. They're just not. They're a collection of dudes in a rebuild, and we start thinking about what this all means and where they're gonna go. The Cubs leader in wins above replacement per Fangraphs is Ian Happ. Ian Happ's the most valuable Cub at the moment. He's got a WRC plus of 138. Wilson Contreras just behind him at 1.1 war with a WRC plus of 142. Seiya Suzuki going strong, WRC plus of 124, and couldn't sustain what he was to start the year, but he's still an 800 OPS guy if you look at that. But Patrick Wisdom's got 10 homers. I want to say first in four consecutive since Rizzo in 2015. Does that sound right? I think that's the case. But it's hard to tell where they are and what they're going to be because Jed Hoyer is being very coy and diplomatic. And I get it when Ian says, that they don't really want to think about that. They don't want to talk about what the deadline now. So it's hard to balance the long-term understanding of where they are in this rebuild with the, with a clubhouse, with a dugout that's trying to win games and is having fun. It's a pretty good mix of guys, even though they're not that good. You know, we talked to Ian Happ a little bit about his teammate Patrick Wisdom and the kind of year that he's having. It has to be especially nice to see someone like Wisdom making good on that opportunity that's rare for someone at his stage of his career.
He's incredibly talented, and he hits the ball so hard. It's amazing how hard he hits the baseball. And I think kind of the underrated part about what he's done is he's played a really, really solid third base. And it's been awesome to just watch him continue to make adjustments and kind of put that full season together. There's a lot that goes into a full season, especially when throughout your career, it's kind of been up, down chances, and you're kind of waiting for that moment. When you actually get the opportunity to put a full season together, that's a different beast. And to see him make adjustments kind of week to week, and you know what he did with his third at bat or fourth at bat against Kennedy in 2 weeks between or a week, and to see him kind of make that full adjustment to be able to then clip him in a big situation was really awesome.
The advanced metrics back it up, too. It's not just the eye test with Wisdom. Our own Joe Ostrowski tweeted a while back. This is on May 5th. He noted, Patrick Wisdom was tied for second in hard hit rate at 50% with Yordan Alvarez and third in barrels per batted ball at 22.7% behind Aaron Judge and Mike Trout. So Joe's conclusion is one could make the argument that you should see a four-game home run streak coming. Sure, you start looking at matchups, you start looking at the park, and the fact that when he hits the ball, he tends to barrel it up. I like that stat, barrels per batted ball, because that takes out the 40% strikeouts. That is conveniently not involving the number of times where there is no contact whatsoever. But mentioned before that I know that we've had a lot of people who have been frustrated by the ups and downs of Ian Happ. But looking at what Ian's done since the last 7 or 8 weeks of last year, the whole second half of last year, and then carrying it over into this year, his numbers are pretty good. And he's under contract only through next year.
That's a huge point. And I sort of wanted to touch on that too, because you know, you're looking at where the Cubs are at and how they want to evaluate players like Ian Happ. Is this going to be a guy that you want to keep around when they want to be competitive again? And he is proving to the Cubs that he is worth an investment because of the production that we're seeing this year. I love the fact that you brought up the wins above replacement number that he is at the top of the list right now on current Cubs. But here's the thing that's jumped out at me at the success of Ian Happ this year. He's been in the league since 2017 with the Cubs, and I looked at his career splits because you're monitoring him from the right side of the plate. Nearly 270, 280 games, I would say. Of
a decent sample.
A great sample across his career against left-handed pitching. And he slugged across his career a minuscule 391. Now, he hit 244 against lefties in his career, but he slugged 391. And we're looking at him this season against left-handed pitching, 23 games, 36 plate appearances. He's slugging 500 with a 375 batting average. Then, if you add that to the fact that he's striking out less and walking more, this is starting to become the player that the Cubs had envisioned. Maybe not so much in terms of the speed, right, when they initially drafted him. But this is a guy who's putting bat to ball, getting on base, and hitting for power now. And then he's correcting some of the things that held him back so substantially as a hitter. That correction, if he can sustain hitting, you know, from the right side of the plate, it just adds so much value to his game.
And remember how it started with them sending him down with that surprise demotion to tell him to work on that. And it was pitch selection. It was chasing stuff up in the zone. And you remember how unhappy, famously, I don't know if anybody's really ever told that story about how angry we've intimated, we have made some oblique references to it, but that was not a happy camper when he had to swallow hard and go confront that demotion. And if you remember Ricky Vaughn in Major League, he takes the ball up, stick it up your. And it was pretty close to that. If it wasn't exactly that, it was pretty close. And because that could be a tightly wound dude. You can, you know, you see it out there. And here's the thing, too, is like when we have him on every Monday, I know better now. It's like, well, Bernstein, why don't you ask him about, is he going to get traded? He hates that. He hates it. All they want to do right now is play ball. And even though their record is what it is, and we can say what we say and observe what we observe about them, big picture, and know that they're in the middle of a rebuild, and some guys are going to be here and some guys aren't, it's anathema to ball players a quarter of the way through a season to say, like, all right, well, which runner team is getting traded? Like, they can't think about that. They don't want to think about it. There will be a time and a place for it. But and I think usually at the quarter of a season is when we arbitrarily will do a bit of a reckoning or an assessment, just because that's what we do. We can look at the calendar and see something like that. But they hate it because it's out of their control.
Yeah, as a player, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Just real quick on the Ian Happ perspective, I love having him on the show because he shares things like what he did with us a few weeks ago, talking about the value of John Jay and what like helped him become a better outfielder. So like stuff like that kind of goes by the wayside. You don't necessarily think about it too much, but like little details like that that he's able to share to the airwaves is great. And also, I mentioned the strikeout to walk ratio. His K rate has dropped 9% to this point. Of the season compared to last year. He was at 29.2% K rate. Now he's at 20.3, and his walk rate has jumped up nearly 4%. So it just kind of backs up the claim of striking out fewer times and walking more.
It's amazing what happens, White Sox. It's amazing what happens when you walk more. That was a huge part of that Yankee series. And if we're actually talking about the material takeaways from that, that isn't just sort of this soft stuff around the edges of good vibes, man, and everybody, you know, pulling on the same end of the rope, they walked more and they scored more. It's incredible how that happens. It's almost if runs are a function of on-base percentage. It's crazy that way, really. When we return, I want to give you yet the latest example of the, it is an absolute pipe dream for American sports. And I know that, and I know it will never happen, but I'm going to play you a sports highlight, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what you think just happened. And then I'm going to tell you what actually did happen and what was at stake and why it's awesome. That's next on The Score.
Hey Chicago fans, this is Ian Happ, and do I have some good news for you. Not only is baseball back, but Connect Roasters has new coffees, new packaging, and new roasts for you to find around the city. We're in Dom's Market, we're in all the Foxtrot locations, and we're bringing our new coffee to you. We're celebrating the start of baseball, we're celebrating great coffee. Go to your Dom's Market location and go to all the Foxtrots around the city to find Connect Roasters coffee today.
This segment is brought to you by Whiskey Acres Distilling Company.
Have you visited my friends at Whiskey Acres Distilling Company? You can enjoy a tour, cocktails, live music, food trucks, and farm fresh air at the Visitor's Center on their fifth generation family farm in DeKalb. Whiskey Acres. Great whiskey isn't made, it's grown.
Okay. If you're purchasing a new home, refinancing your existing home, securing a VA loan, or a reverse mortgage, you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender. Meet David, who posted this 5-star Google review after working with Team Hochberg loan officer Mark Zenner. Quote, "My wife and I make good money, but we had no way to pay off our credit card debt. So I called Team Hochberg and I worked with Mark Zenner. And Mark helped us pay off $45,000 in credit card debt, eliminated our stress, and saved us over $1,000 a month." You can read David's almost 400 5-star reviews by visiting Google and entering Team Hochberg in the browser. If you'd like to experience the same 5-star customer service as David and thousands of other Score listeners, the next time you, a friend, or a family member purchases a new home or refinances your existing home, just call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. That's 855-563-2843. Or visit their website, 56david.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 112-4061.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, if you know me, you know that there are certain things in sports for which I pine irrationally. And one of those was in evidence just a few nights ago. And I'm not going to tell you what this is, but I want you to hear the call. I want you to hear the reaction. Leeds United and Brentford tied in stoppage time. This was the call via the Leeds United radio network.
We're inside the final two. Rafinha's corner kick into the near post. It's a poor corner. Comes out for Harrison. He'll try the drive. Yes! Yeah!
Moment for Leeds United. The ball flies beyond Raya into the far corner of the net, and now all around us and on the far corner of the ground, and it's absolute pandemonium here in West London. Harrison's goal, Brentford 1, Leeds United 2. Oh yes,
get in. Oh, Jack Harrison, fantastic. He has been absolutely brilliant, and he just lets fly through so many bodies. Might have took a slight deflection, but you know what? I don't care. It's in the back of the net, and we have gone back into the lead.
If that doesn't do it for you, I don't know what does. When a team wins a chip, nope. You know what that was? That was them avoiding relegation. We've done it! By God, we've done it! That's avoiding relegation. That means the pubs and the selling. If that's the call, imagine what's going on in the streets and in the pubs. People are going absolutely bananas because they avoided being sent down to the lower league. God, relegation's great.
We're 17th.
Right, but that's real. It's real. They're 17th, but they stayed in the premiership. And everybody involved. The broadcasters are still Premier League broadcasters. The sponsors of the radio are still Premier League sponsors. Like that, they stayed in the league. It's so great. I know it's impossible in other sports. The other cool thing is Leeds is coached by an American. The Leeds coach is Jesse Marsh, the Princeton grad from Racine, Wisconsin, who played for the Chicago Fire from 98 to 05. And there's a little Ted Lasso thing going on there. And if you watch Ted Lasso, you know, spoiler alert, that Richmond did get relegated. And then at the end of season two, where they tied their way back into the premiership, even though Nate the Great is elsewhere and they have left us with that evil ending there. But how cool is that? How great is it that it's yes, we're 17th, but it isn't some Mr. Irrelevant kind of thing. It isn't like, well, we traded our guys at the deadline for a bunch of prospects. Like, that was real sports happiness because of the way their professional leagues are structured.
Obviously, there's a ton more context to it, like you mentioned, but just isn't it nice to kind of have it not be title or you don't matter? Just like, it's okay to be somewhere in the middle at some point.
Okay. Well, I know
it's different because there's a lot of money involved, sponsors, all that, but like just in general.
All right. I will say this too, and I had this discussion with somebody the other day, and this, and somebody's going to, I don't have a lot of time here. Maybe I should hold this for another time. But all I will say is I've always been, everything you do to win a title, it's all about titles, 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 titles. And I still believe that. I do think we need to change our definition of what constitutes titles. And some of this is particularly in baseball. Much like in the premiership, winning the league is finishing first in the standings. And that's a massive accomplishment. It doesn't give you the satisfaction of the immediacy of the playoffs. But we know this, that the 162 in baseball determines the best team in baseball. The playoffs determine the World Series champion. And those are often divergent things. It would be great if we could get back to the way when my grandparents would talk about the pennant. And it meant to win the pennant. Then you got on with the playoffs, and maybe you won the World Series, maybe you didn't. But those celebrations of winning the pennant, 1959 of the air raid sirens and all that, that was real. Because that there was a feeling. That was its own championship. Similarly, what the NBA is doing to add an in-season tournament, I think is great. Soccer teams have so many different cups. There's the Champions League. There's their own league. There's the, you know, regional leagues. And each one of these things, each one of these cups has you can separate it and have a standalone sense of joy and satisfaction for your team winning a championship, winning a ring, whatever you want to call it. I don't have any problem. And it's not in the, you with your participation trophies. No, I don't think there's any downside to doing it if you give more people more things to celebrate, as long as it's coming from a real place. I know relegation's a pipe dream, but the model of having other championships is not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think so at all.
Keep as many teams or players or whatever trying their hardest for as long as possible within the context of a season.
Yeah, it makes all of it more fun. And I did not know this, that the 312 says that goal was worth approximately 80 million euros, keeping Leeds in the Premier League for next season. Ooh, that's a big goal. You might want to give that young man a bonus. He should get a chunk of that, I think. It's so great. Oh, fun stuff. Lawrence Holmes is here, and we have Transition next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.